You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is the advancement of the kingdom.
And let them have dominion.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenly.
Maybe I should say this immediately. Anytime opportunities come up for people to take up something in the kingdom, put yourself last. Anytime such things come and you rush forward, God always puts you last. What you notice is that after a while, your life experiences minus. Be careful about something. Be careful about something. Anytime you are dealing with your brothers and sisters, if you're dealing with unbelievers, you can talk like that. Anytime you're dealing with your brothers and sisters, the first position is the last one. The first position is the last one. Where people rush for, thinking that's where the first is, in the kingdom is opposite. The first is the last. That one that is always allowing others to go first. That one that is always serving. That one that is always standing while others sit. That one is the one God calls first. And at the end of the day, he will be more influential, wealthier, more anointed, wiser, richer than the others. You see, this earth that you and I live in, it belongs to one group of people called the meek. He said, blessed are the meek. They will be the ones to inherit the earth. If you keep putting yourself up, God will keep putting you down. When you come into a meeting like this, your attitude will be to serve. Your attitude will be to serve. We don't have any big man in this meeting. If you watch the pastors, watch the examples. When I even invite a minister and he comes here to insult the least of the brethren, that's the last time you smell our door. Because most of these people you look at are far more anointed than those so-called big people you think of. I respect, you see the pastors that I respect them and reverence them deeply. When I tell PCJ, sometimes I tell him, and I mean exactly what I say. Let me tell you, Jesus taught me these things as I travel to churches and minister in other ministries. I've come to learn. Don't go to a place and you pretend to adore the man and you despise the people that are around him. You are a fool. You are a fool. Some people do it in offices. They go to see a man, they saw the secretary, they saw the people. You don't know Jesus. You need to get born again. Be broken. Come down and know what Christianity is all about. May the eyes, the kingdom of God be open to you, that is so you can understand it. You are the one complicating your life. Don't come around here and do big man. We will sack you. I will ask both human beings and angels to kick you out. We don't have such people here. That's one of the things we're trying to correct in this nation. This ministry is raised to reform this nation. Africans, empty, nothing inside him. Sin has crippled his life, crippled his eyes, he can't see. When he comes before God, he wants to impress them. Do like this. Such people are living in the bond of iniquity. If you see the atrocities going on inside them, because pride repels grace. And when grace is repelled away, you are a victim to the enemy and his wives. I have two things about me. Sometimes I let people know that, you know, sometimes I don't bother. When I have a mandate, something to deliver, Jesus said, greet no one on the way. That's because if I stop and start socializing, I lose that anointing, and I'm not able to help the one that I'm sent to deliver it to. I'll give you an example. When he sent them two by two, he said, greet nobody, by the way. He wasn't teaching them arrogance or whatever. He's teaching them consecration. And when you are carrying the unction, you have to stay away from things. It's not everybody that can be around me. It's not everybody that can talk to me. You don't get to me like that. But once I'm through with that assignment, because some crippled man, his life depends on it. Some man is dying, he depends on me being able to carry this thing successfully to him. When you are carrying something from God to people, you see, Angel Gabriel was coming from heaven with a message to Daniel, the prince of Persia, will lay him. You have to be careful about who you contact. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was carrying our redemption. But even though he has shed that blood, he has died, it is not yet a fact. The redemption is not yet a fact until he successfully takes that blood to the holiest of holies and apply it at the mercy seat. Then redemption can be pronounced to man. So when he saw Mary, Mary knew him well in the flesh. He said, no, don't touch me. So when he said, don't touch me yet, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go tell my brethren, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So sometimes I've come from the presence of God and I'm carrying something. Thousands of people, they study on his field, they are waiting. And I can lose this thing, I'm aware of it. I'm aware. You don't turn on TV, you don't play music, you don't carry me in the car and start discussing, you don't ask me questions. Copeland said he had to learn that when he was driving or a robot, when he was his pilot and when he was his driver. He said, you don't talk to him. He said, the first time he started driving him, he would try to use the opportunity to ask. He said, no, you don't try that. They called him and gave him some stern warning. After he has helped the people and delivered that unction, you cannot do anything you want. A lot of people are not tutored, are not trained. Many of us don't have home training. In this spiritual family, many of us are not trained. We are like bastard children, just operating anyhow. And the move of God is lost. Now, when I'm going for a crusade like that, I go with policemen. I go with such a one. I told a group of mobile police, I said, don't worry, I'm the one protecting you. If you think those things you are carrying is you are protected, I said, don't worry. Your job, I know why you are here, is to make sure we don't stop every bus stop, explaining to them, who are you? Lower your glass, bring 20 naira, bring 15 naira. Is it money greeting that we eat? You know, all those kind of stupid things that are all over the place. So we go and finish our job. But you see me, once my assignment is done, you see me talking with market women. I'm just... One time, I had to be in three cities in one night. So I preached from 10 p.m. to 12 midnight on the 31st night. And we have to move to another state. And I was to preach from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. And I had to move to a third state. The mobile policemen were frightened. They said, Oga, that road. I said, don't worry, you're under protection. Put your head. I said, even if you're not here, I will still go. But the reason is that I know your colleagues are everywhere along the road. And every whatever, we will keep stopping and keep explaining until the message I have to deliver has gone. There are times where you geez, you just talk, human talk, read Bible, say anything you like. There are times when we are carrying something from the heart of the Father. It can be aborted. So Jesus said, greet no one on the way. That's a tough one because you might meet your uncle on the road and you just have to keep going. You might meet your girlfriend, you just have to keep going. The one you are planning to marry and you were in the house early this morning or yesterday and now as you are piling, you know the devil is very crafty. You see her, just have to keep going. We will settle after. After the blind eyes have opened, we can come and settle. After the dead has been raised, we can come and settle. Can I hear you say amen? If you cannot understand my consecration, then we have no business being in this relationship. That's why many are useless. Consecration, zero. No prayer time, no quiet time, no personal word time. They are just running about, making noise everywhere. Jeez, jeez, jeez. When do you sit at the feet of Jesus? I'm the vine, you are the branches. Your life depends on constant fellowship with me, constant communion. That's what it means. So one time, Elijah had a young prophet he was training by the name of Elisha. And a woman who didn't have a child got a miracle baby through the ministry of Elijah. And now this baby was growing, and the guy was about, who knows, between 12 and 14. He was a teenager. And that boy got sick and died. what God gave you, what came from God, the enemy can destroy if it's not properly guarded. And so this woman had a relationship with the source of that miracle, which is very important. You should know the source of the anointing that you are carrying. You should know the source of the blessing that you are carrying. You should know the source of the ministry that you are carrying. You should know the source of even the message that you are bearing. You know, like Copeland would say, he said, Kenneth Hagin is not just my spiritual father. He's the father of the ministry that I carry in my belly. He's the father. He's the one that bettered the message that I carry. And so what do? You keep a relationship with that source. You keep honoring that source. And it will be impossible for Satan to ever disconnect you. It's like a pipe that is constantly connected to the reservoir that sends water. When people think they've seen you alive, they are just beginning because you are still hooked up. You can't knock such people out. The law of sustenance, there is a law that sustains every ministry, every anointing, everything. It's the law of source and sustenance. You must maintain a relationship with the source of everything that you have, including God. When we declare independence from our source, whatever we have collected withers away. God sustains ministries, visions, anointings by the principle of relationship, the vine and the branch principle. So anyway, she knew because she built the prophet a house. She's honored that anointing. She had done a lot of wonderful things for Elijah. And that's how she got that miracle. So she knew where to go. It's not like somebody who has been blessed in a church and now he has caused the same anointing that made him. He walked into that place. He forgot who he used to be when he walked in there. And now God has made something big out of his life. He has turned and repaid good with evil. So she went and saddled her horse. The husband said, where are you going? He said, don't worry. I will take care of this. And carried the baby, laid on the bed in the room that he made for the man of God, laid the child there and saddled and went to the mountain of God. When she got there, Elijah was ministering. Elijah saw her coming. He said, she's not happy. Something has gone wrong, and the Lord did not reveal it to me. That's the surprising thing. Elijah said, this thing is not supposed to happen. God is supposed to go through me before he can allow anything to happen to that lady. That lady is under my covering. But now, something has happened, and the Lord did not reveal it to me. So finally, some of the servants of the prophet rushed to her. Say, is there any problem? Is he well with you? What about your child? He said, everything is fine. And that is the same thing she said at home. I know where the child came from. If you got your own child from River Niger or from Babbage, when the wahala starts, you go back there. And the man of God saw her. And she fell and held his feet. He said, did I ask you for a child? She said, I told you, I don't have any problem. The seed I sowed, I just sowed it out of my heart. Well, you said, I'm going to get this child. And the child came. Now, why is the child dead? And Elijah said, don't worry, it's a small thing. The source of anything is the sustenance of that thing. Anything that is connected to a source cannot die. Branches don't wither. It's when there is a disconnection. That's how people run dry. Because it's been long, they stayed in his presence. So anyway, but there's a principle here I wanted to take note of. Elijah now said to the woman, to Elisha, the young prophet. Not Elijah. Oh, we are talking about Elisha, not Elijah now. The whole thing is Elisha. Elijah faced a situation like that, but he was living with the woman in the same house. The baby too, the lady, the baby, the widow's child died. And of course, he went there, laid his body on the child, and the child came back. But now it's Elisha. And so he turns to Gehazi, the young prophet in training. He said, take the rod. Take the authority. This is what I use to get the result that you see. Take the mantle, take the anointing, and follow that woman. When you get to the house, lay it on the child, and the child will wake up. And he took the table. But he said, as you go, there's one instruction. Greet no one on the way. Greet no one on the way. What you are carrying has been charged, is cooked. Don't discharge it on the way. Don't enter markets. Don't enter somewhere. Take it straight to the dead boy. Discharge that whole unction on that dead boy and he will wake up. Guess what happened? Gehazi carried the rod. Got to the house. He said, where is the door? They opened the door. Where is the boy? He said, look at him lying in the bed of the man of God. He laid the rod. The boy got deader. He laid it again. The guy went from death to coma. There is another coma after death. When you are dead, dead. He laid it the third time. The dead boy fainted. There are two things about Gehazi that got my attention studying that young guy. He never made it to the ministry. He never made it. He ended up with leprosy. The first one is that he was playing with issues about he could lie to his master, lie anyhow. He was deceiving. He was after money. He came for money. And it was good that he ended with leprosy because he would have been a Balaam in the ministry. He would have done anything. He would have destroyed people just for money. He would have been a Balaam. He's a prophet of gain. His motivation is not right. God blesses those who serve him, but the blessing is the result, not the pursuit. When you seek the kingdom, those things come. Not you go now and start seeking them. The second thing is that the Lord now, I ask the Lord, why didn't the rod work? That rod came from the fire. How come it did not deliver the result? He said, can't you see, that guy doesn't have value for the words of his master. He lies. He doesn't have integrity. He did not keep the instruction he was given. He probably went to his house and argued with his wife first. Do you know, I had 2 weeks off. They just discharged me. You know, the one woman lost her son. So with that opportunity, we are glad that we came out of the convent. You know this prophetic training. We've been there. The training is so tough. I don't know what that man is doing with us. Does he think we are wood? But anyway, he just gave me these 2 weeks to go and finish, do this, carry out this small assignment. So I said, let me use the opportunity to come and see you. How are you there? How are you there now? How are the children? Do you have a amala soup? Cook me my favorite one. He said, you're a man of God. Why don't you go and finish the assignment? Come and meet him. He said, bring the food first. You know what we've been eating? That man's camel or what? He didn't. He didn't have integrity. He didn't have consecration. He didn't have consecration. So he couldn't retain the anointing. Of course, when he brought the report, nothing happened. Elisha had to go by himself. There was no need for that. And when he got there, he stretched himself on the dead boy. And the boy woke up. years after that man was dead. Dead. And rotten. Decayed and rotten. And now what was left was his skeleton. Dry bones. And another dead man was thrown into his sepulcher. The nation of Israel was being invaded, so they were trying to bury the man. But when they saw the attacking army, they hurried and threw him inside as they were running away. You know, a burial service, and then there is war. Everybody will drop the coffin and run, because you don't want to die. So they threw the man inside the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the dead man touched the bones of Elisha, he got up and joined the other ones that were running. I'm sure the initial guys have to increase their speed. Who is pursuing us? I asked a woman, if your dead husband gets up in a funeral service, what are you likely to do? Will you go and say, darling, hey, thank God. Or will you run? He said, Pastor, I will run. No. I said, your husband? He said, ah. When Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, he didn't say, a ghost. It was Peter and John who saw him one time walking around. I said, ghost. Mary Magdalene said, Laboni, master, and went to take a sweet hug. Jesus said, wait, I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father. No wonder they are writing about Da Vinci Code, trying to insinuate things behind the scene. Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. They say Jesus probably married Mary Magdalene and had children, and they grew up in France. And yes. And they said that is now the new bloodline of Jesus is now the Holy Grail. Have you noticed how they kept changing that Holy Grail? Initially, it was the particular cup that Jesus used for Holy Communion with his disciples. So one particular group have been preserving that cup. That is the Holy Grail. The whole world has been looking for it. They say because it still has eternal life. It can renew your youth. It can do that. Recently now, to the first century, they have changed the Holy Grail to Jesus' bloodline. He has descendants. And they are in France. One guy was talking. I said, excuse me, my dear. I will have love for Jesus to have married. People have been wonderful. At least I will know how to be dealing with my wife. I have a woman. Women confuse me. He will leave us enough guideline how to do this thing. I will know how to father better. It would be a nice thing if he married. And they will have the kids. The children will be my best friend. Of course, that's where I'll be spending all my hours. To know what Jesus' children look like. But I have news for you. If you are looking for his kids, here is one here. If you are looking for his bride, here is one here. In this environment, always put yourself last. You want to be one of those that Jesus, the Bible will crack. Mahalo gubama iye kebolo zamba iadi kosa yonono pialas. I wasn't planning to do this now, but okay. Let's just obey God. The scripture is talking about the manifestations of the sons of God. Those who will reveal Christ to their generation. There are characteristics of such people. There are marks by which you will know them. This end time move, anyone that will be part of it, there are certain marks by which you will know them. They bear the marks of Jesus Christ. Remember he said, come unto me when you are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Anyone that will be part of this end time unusual, there are marks by which you can know them. If you go to the book of Matthew, I'm not going to go there. The book of Matthew, what the scripture call, or what people have termed the eight beatitudes, or what they call Sermon on the Mount, you will see the emblems of such people. The first principle about these people is the principle of brokenness. The first, he said, they are poor in heart. That's the kind of attitude you come in here and you leave camp meeting a transformed man. You come in here with that attitude of not poor in cash, poor in spirit. You look at your life, you realize so much of the need, the gap between the ideal and the reality, between what you have been apprehended of in Christ and what the reality is, between God's expectation of you, between where you should be and where you are. You look at it. It creates a sense of, you realize, this God that is so big, that lives in the heaven, said he has a second address. He said, I'm the lofty one that dwells in eternity. But if you want to find me, I dwell with the meek, with the broken, with the contrite in spirit. The ones who are needy of me, the ones who know how much of me they don't have. Contriteness, brokenness. You can't be proud if you're broken. You can't. You can't be proud if you're poor in the spirit. And he said, blessed are such people, for such is the kingdom of God. They are the ones that take all of the treasure. They are the ones that benefit. They are the ones that maximize all of the resources, all of the benefits of the kingdom. He's created for them. You have the principle of meekness. That principle simply means you are teachable. You are correctable. You come in with the attitude, Lord, correct me. Rebuke me. Chastise me. Not in your anger, but do whatever it takes. I want to be transformed into your likeness. Correct me. Speak to me. Rebuke me. I'm not just here to get my flesh pumped up. I'm not here to be excited in the flesh for somebody just to charge me up. Of course, there will be motivation. There will be exhortation. There will be all of that. But I'm here for you to put my life back in shape. Break me. Mold me. I'm willing. I'm submissive. I'm yielded. I'm like a clay in your hand. Not like an iron. And then God starts struggling. Then he has to break you into pieces. No. It's pliableness. It's malleableness. It's teachableness. And there's the principle of sincerity and integrity. There are two sides to it. Those that are pure in heart. I banish every form of hypocrisy. I don't come here and be showing up for people. When the whole thing is a whitewashed tomb. We cover everything up with dresses and come in into the presence of God. When it's time for me to kneel down and cry out to God, I don't care who is watching. I don't care who is looking. Father, with my heart, I come to seek you. With my whole heart. When my heart is overrun, take me to that rock that is higher than I. There is the aspect of integrity as you deal with people. Because people who are like that, who are sincere, who speak truth in the inward man, they are the ones that see God. They may not have arrived. They may have issues in their life. But they are sincere. They are true. They don't come before God and try to impress God. He knows who you are. Principle of mourning is the principle of repentance and intercession. Because on one part, sometimes that money, just like the sincerity, you know, sometimes that money is for yourself, where things may not have been right. Things have gone wrong. You may have lost things while you were in slumber. You may have lost time. You may have lost things to sin, to iniquity. You may have lost a lot of things to the enemy. While your men sleep, the enemy came and so tired. The devil steals from you while you are asleep. I'm not talking about sleeping in the night. You've been insensitive. You've been so carnal that you didn't know what God was doing. And you have lost so much time. You have lost years. It creates a mourning in your heart. It puts you in a state where, I'm not talking about natural, you know, human beings mourning the way we mourn when people die. I'm not talking about, it's godly sorrow that produces repentance. It puts a cry, it raises a cry in your heart. It creates a spirit of supplication. When you come before God, you're not just praying like others. You know that, you know that things are not where they should be. You are having deficit. You are in debt. The other time, it produces a spirit of intercession where you are not mourning necessarily for yourself. You are mourning for the state of the church. It might be the state of the family. It might be the state of the nation. The way things are. When I saw this building, I'm not talking about the campus. I actually asked them to drive me around. When I go to Six Flags, I wept. I said, is this where they are training people who will rule this country? You need to see what the place looks like. Zeke has done his best. 3 more years, the university will be 50 years or thereabout. But you can see how everything has dilapidated over the years. What will our generation do? If you see these ones that are going to walk in the glory, the express glory of God in this life, that they will bear these marks. They always have this principle of hunger, the principle of constant improvement. They are not satisfied with the status quo. No matter what happens, they are not satisfied. We're not talking about lack of contentment. No. They lack the spirit of I have arrived. So they are always reaching out, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching out, pressing towards the mark. There is a deeper walk with God. There is another level God has for you. You don't know what you have not yet known the things that God even wants to show you. Even the ones you think you have understood, you have not even scratched that revelation. It puts hunger in them. It puts them on the pursuit. This kind of spirit awakens passion. And you see them going after the deep things of God. These are the ones to whom God reveals the glory of his kingdom. There's a group there. These ones that are ready to suffer anything for his sake. They have their consecration have reached that point that they love not their life unto death. They have engaged in that principle of crucifixion, of death to self. They can suffer any persecution. You can laugh at them. You can ridicule them. As long as it's for righteousness, for the name of Jesus, they can take anything. He said, go and check such people. Those are the ones that the kingdom belongs to. I don't want you to travel all the way and come here and waste your time and lose. Just have fun, greet brethren, share, sit in meetings, and live with nothing. God called us together this weekend because he wants to so impact your life and then commission you as the one carrying the solution to the problems in your environment. As one carrying the answer to the problems of the nations. It will take a different kind of attitude. It will take a shift to be able to get it. Don't come to impress anybody. Forget the other man sitting beside you. A deeper walk with God might not be his concern. So don't worry. Like I said at the opening night, One of the greatest things you must take care of, you must do, is don't let anybody offend you this week. Don't take any offense. The moment you do, you are disconnected. You can sit through this meeting, but you will leave with nothing. Don't let the environment. You are brought out into the wilderness to come and have an experience with God. Where you are going is where the promised land is. This place is wilderness. And God is such a wise God. He wanted to create a camp meeting. The upper room experience, the Pentecost for the children of Israel. He told Moses, that will not happen in Egypt. And I'm not about to do it inside the promised land. We're going to do it right in the wilderness. I'm going to come down and appear to these people. They need this place where they can't just rush in and buy something from the supermarket, where they can't go in and take a call, where they can. I wish I can disconnect all your phones. I wish I can seize all the phones. You don't need one call this week, this weekend. I wish I can take you away from this world for 3 days only. Take you on out of the body excursion. You can leave the activities that have been distracting you, that have so sapped you of spiritual substance. You can leave them behind. I wish I can take you away from every human being who is not serious after God. You need to interact with people. You need opportunity to sit with people. But it should be iron, sharpening iron, sitting with wood. When I go for conferences, I don't talk to everybody. It's time for greeting, you know. We greet. That one is normal. But when I'm talking about spending quality time, I don't do that with everybody. I find men of purpose, men of life passion, men who are hungry for God, men who are contrite. If you looked at part of the values that govern my life, one of them is that any man that does not have the fear of God cannot be my friend. I have a set of friends around me. There are men that are highly rooted in values. Wish I can take you apart from all of these distractions. God wants to appear to you. That's what you have come here for. And you know, when you look at the source of light, all the shadows go behind you. Something is happening here. The shadow goes behind you. But when you keep looking at the shadows, you miss the light. You have not come here to eat. To have a transfigured personality. Moses forgot food and water for 40 days. He was just on that mountain. Now that's not that you shouldn't eat. If you want to. That's not why you are here. The Lord was talking to me earlier this evening while I was in the guest house about these things. He said, when you get there, talk to them about this. Talk to them about this. Talk to them. I didn't know I would refer to the beatitude or that. But he said, talk to them about this. The wrong attitude. I don't know why. Actually, while we were sitting there, I was asking the Holy Spirit another question. Why? Let me just go ahead into what I've come to do tonight. This. He said, no. If you don't, many. And now, I don't know why. Maybe there are some new people that have joined us this night. That might be the reason. That maybe some people are arriving this night. That might be the reason. Or maybe that has been the situation. Somebody saw a vision. You saw the people who were talking this morning. And you saw a lot of people. They were distributing white garments. And the dove, white doves, were falling from heaven upon people, just like it happened to Jesus. And there were people without their own garments. These are the issues. These are the issues. Don't let anybody offend you. Stand up on your feet. Talk to the person beside you. Tell him, neighbor, I'm glad you are sitting next to me, because my grace will flow over to you. But ask him, I hope you have something too to offer to me, because iron sharpens iron. I expect something to flow from you to me, as something flows from me to you. You know, when we get the church, when all of us start coming into the fullness of the stature of Christ, we start coming into maturity to function in these things. If somebody was booked for an operation and he walked into service and sit beside you, that operation will be canceled. Do you know who you are? The presence of God was put inside a box. And a group of priests were told to carry it. Today, God took that presence and put it inside an earthen vessel and told two legs to carry it. Do you know who you are? R.W. Schambach did something amazing in a conference like this. He told all the ministers, it's a lineup on two sides. And ministers lined up this way and lined up this way. He said, create a path in between. And they created a... And everybody was surprised, wondering what he was about to do. He said, listen. Like when the Red Sea divided, I formed two walls for the children of Israel to pass. Anybody that is brought through this path, that passes through this, if you are crippled, you are going to leave that place walking. He said, because these men that you see are the priests. They are carrying that ark presently right now. The presence of God is no more locked up in a box. It's not locked up in some temple behind one curtain somewhere. It's now locked up in earthen vessels. And he read the scripture to them. That when the priests who bore the ark, their feet stepped on the water of Jordan, the water parted. And the children of Israel passed over to the other side. And he said, here are the priests, that the ministration of the New Testament is more deadly than that of the old. If it could divide the river in the old, it can divide any mountain and any flames that is standing on your way. And he told the people, the ark of God is already before you. Push all of the wheelchair people. And they went and lined up the cripples. And they started pushing them. They pushed the first man. He gets in where the ministers are standing. Move a little. He gets up from his wheelchair and starts running. They push the second one. He gets in. He starts running. They push the third one. They cleared 16 wheelchairs. And he said, Oya, if you are deaf, you are blind. Oya. We don't know. We have lost the consciousness of Jehovah. That's why the church is weak and dead. We don't know who we are serving anymore. You know the amazing thing? The priest, the ministers, the fivefold minister, the priest today in the New Testament is every believer. This is what we can do to bring the unsaved out of the darkness and cross them over to the other side into redemption. Bring them out of sickness into healing by taking the tangible presence of God to them. Lift up your hands this night. You know what you're going to do, Lord? You're going to tell him, I surrender. All my cares, I drop them. Any offense, anything anybody is doing, anything happening around me, I drop. I came here to seek you. And you are the center of my focus. I came here to meet with you, Lord. Open my eyes that I may see you. Change me into the likeness, into your likeness. Change me into your likeness. I want to know you. Take away from me all the distractions that have kept the reality of Christ away from my life. I want to know you and to be able to make you known. Reveal yourself afresh to me. Cleanse me from every unrighteousness. Remove the filthy garments that has been stained by sin and the flesh. Clothe me with a fresh garment of righteousness. Clothe me with a fresh... Father, tonight I bring the blood of the everlasting covenant again. I leave that blood that was shed on the cross on behalf of every man, every soul, everyone that is here tonight. The ones that are joining tonight, the ones that have traveled, the ones that are outside. I ask for the mercy of God to be over the people. I ask for the blood of Jesus to bring atonement to for every life. Cleanse your people. Let the holiness of Jesus fall upon us again. Let the consecration of Christ fall upon us. Let the fear of God be revealed to our hearts again. Open our eyes to see you. Open our eyes to see you. Let us become that generation that will bring to pass the desire of the Father to have a generation of sons who will reveal his glory to this earth. The generation that will satisfy the cries of creation that have been groaning and traveling in pain. Raise for yourself an army out of this multitude. I have always said it. When God gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. We need to explore the riches of Christ. Many of us still don't know what God gave us when he gave us his son. The Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. But beyond giving us his son, God went one step further and gave us himself. For when God gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. But when he gave us the Holy Ghost, he gave us himself. The Holy Spirit is the most important treasure in heaven. It's the costliest, is the most valuable treasure in heaven. I like how Catherine Kuma puts it. He said, the presence of the Holy Spirit, when you find it, you have found heaven's treasure. My purpose tonight is not to discuss the person of the Holy Spirit or his gifts or his ministries and all of that. I want to discuss the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Why did God give us the Holy Spirit? What was in his mind? What was he trying to accomplish? What did he see that once the Holy Spirit comes upon our life and into our life, that these things will become the possibilities that we're going to have. It's an investment that God made in us. God took the very substance that made him God and put it in us. When God gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us that right, that grace, if you will, to share in his divine essence. When I meet a Christian struggling with sin, that gentleman, we don't allow that here. I will pardon you because you're still a new person around here. You don't qualify to sit where you are sitting. The fact that you are allowed to even sit there. He's a meek man. He doesn't need to be talked to with many words. You know, divinity. There's something the scripture said. It said the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ bodily. You know what he was talking about? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the fullness of the Godhead. If you remove him, God is an empty being. He's just an empty vessel moving about in space. The very substance that makes God, God. The very essence of his being. He took it. You know, God said, my glory will I not share with you. But it's amazing what God is willing to do for the new creation. It's amazing. It blows your mind. When I start thinking about these things, while we are trying to explore the riches of Christ made available to us in redemption, we need to begin to explore the riches of his glory, the riches of the presence of God, the riches of his presence. The scripture keeps talking about the riches of his glory. That the very presence of God now tabernacles with men. Smith Wigglesworth said, these are men that know the value and the worth of what they got. He said, if you fence the whole nation of France, put a wall around the whole nation and all the treasures in it, and said, Smith Wigglesworth, that is yours. He said, it will be nothing compared to the Holy Ghost being on my life. He said, I would rather have the Holy Ghost stay on me for 5 minutes than to have the whole nation of France belong to me for eternity. Hey! Let me talk to the choir. Maybe you will get it. He said, I would rather have the Holy Ghost on me for 5 minutes. Only 5 minutes. Than to have a whole nation as my property forever. Catherine Kuma said, when you find it, you have found the jewel of heaven. That guarded secret, that most guarded treasure in heaven. What God is not willing to share with angels, what he's not willing to share with anybody, he's giving us because we are not servants, we are sons. We are family. Because you know that no matter, you know, how worthy a man is, how much he suffered, how he labored to build whatever he built, everything will end up belonging to his heirs, his children. The cry of the Father for eternity past was a cry for sons. It was that cry that resulted in the creation of the planet Earth. When God was creating the planet Earth, a lot of people don't know, the last thing God brought on the scene was the first thing, or the actual reason why he created every other thing. What happened is that, you know, when a family is about to have a baby, especially the first child, when a baby is arriving, I've learned by studying my wife, you know, and we've had 4 kids. And each time a new baby is arrived, we go through the same thing. We're buying prams, we're buying bed, one time we repainted the whole house, renovated, fixed, changed the rug. A new baby is arriving. We said this particular baby is not going to arrive. It was that time we now said we're going to move from the flat where we're living to a duplex. We moved to a duplex, and said, let's rent a new apartment, a better apartment, create a better environment, because we want this child not to go through what we used to experience in our past. We want the child to meet a better environment than the parents had. The earth was just a nursery. An environment that God has to put together. You know what the birds do? They first make the nest before laying the egg. They prepare the environment before the child arrives. That's what created oil. That's why God created gold. That's why he created diamond. That's why he created silver. That's why he put crude oil. Put all of the minerals, diamond and everything. When God was creating the universe, he had you in mind. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Tell your friend, in Christ, tell him, in Christ, you are loaded. You have not even started exploring what is in your account. If you are allowed to live for another 1,000 years, you can't even scratch 10% of your resources. So why don't you start exploring them? What your father has put in the account for you, you can't exhaust, even if you live here for another billion years. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Love did all these things. The cry of the heart of the Father for children resulted in the creation of the earth. He has made up his mind that he's going to bring you forth. He planned your future. Then he now decided to create the environment where you are going to live and exhibit it. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's go back to the Holy Spirit. The Father was willing to share his very life, his very essence with us. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the DNA of the Father, is his gene. If he's missing in anybody, that person does not belong to God. If he's missing in your life, you are not God's offspring. God might be your God by creation, but he's not your Father. The Holy Spirit is God's DNA. When the Holy Spirit left Adam, Adam became Satan's child. Adam got born again backward. When the Holy Spirit was restored to man on the day of Pentecost, all of those people who were there automatically became part of God's family. The Holy Spirit is the DNA of the Father. The Holy Spirit guarantees that the parental characteristics are transferred to you.
It's the Holy Spirit that recreates the human spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that performs the miracle of the new creation. If your mind not sin, it's impossible to be born again. That's why the first deposit of the Holy Spirit in a believer comes at the point of salvation. What you call receiving Christ, Christos, they call it in Greek, is receiving the Holy Ghost. From that moment, you have what is called the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But I need to show you how it is revealed in Scripture, so that you know the Spirit of God in the life of a believer. What does it look like? We call it the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. At that moment, you can say that that man is a child of God. That man is born twice. As a matter of fact, the fall of man is simply the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit from his spirit or from his soul. Man fell from a spiritual being to a carnal being. He fell from functioning by revelation to functioning by senses. He also fell from dominion to slavery. The Holy Spirit is the mark of ownership. It's God's mark of ownership. When there is a contest, you know, when Moses died, Satan and Angel Michael came to contend over Moses. I like what Paul said, referring to something like that. There was a contest over his life. He was traveling to Rome, and there was a mighty storm. And the people were praying. Paul declared a fast. But later he got up and told the people, it's time to stop this fasting. They said, why? He said, because the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me last night and said, Paul, I'm giving you the life of everyone that is traveling with you. You are now the one in charge. You are the captain of the ship. Everybody that stays with you in this ship will be saved. Anyone that jumps out to swim to the shore will die. Tell the people, whosoever stays with Paul survives. He said, because it is the angel of God whose I am. That is the one I belong to. There is no guesswork whether I am his or not. Because the DNA, my DNA shows that he is my father. I have the seal of redemption. We will get this, so nobody can stop us from getting it. Because what is going to happen is explosion. Everybody here is going to go somewhere and explode. That's what is going to happen. God will be appearing everywhere in the streets of Nigeria. And people will be wondering why. These are men that have the mark of divinity on their life. Everywhere you go from now, you are going to be manifesting, appearing to men like Jesus Christ. Are you going to hear what I'm saying? Listen, I think I need to show you this. Ephesians chapter 1. Go back to Ephesians. The Holy Spirit is the seal of the kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom of God. It's the seal of the family. If we don't find it in you, it is the Spirit of God that has been put in us that cries, Abba, Father.
The right to call God Father. Don't think God is your Father because He created you. The right to call God Abba. The right to call God Father. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted. It's talking about when you give your life to Christ. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of the truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. You know, somebody preached the gospel to you. You may not have given your life that day, because I hear some people who say, nobody preached to me and I gave my life. You are lying. You heard a message sometime. It might be last year. It might be some other time. The seed was sown. But one day it got ripe. And the day you did it, you did it alone in your house. Not even Paul the apostle was saved without preaching. What he did is that he had an encounter that shook him. They now sent him into the city to meet Ananias, who ministered the Holy Ghost to him. You heard something. The seed was sown at one time or the other. Because you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Can I hear you say amen? The word was sown somewhere at one time. Now, in whom you trusted after you heard the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Have you seen the role of the Holy Spirit? It's a seal. What is a seal? What is a seal? And there's a second thing he mentioned there in verse 14. That seal that you receive, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What is a seal? Now, whenever I see a Mercedes product, I can tell. How do you describe that symbol, Mercedes symbol? Eh? BMW symbol. How do you describe it? Dominion City as a ministry has a seal. When a document is an official document and the transaction is a very serious issue, they always require us to put that seal on the document. They know that you can deny that thing. We can go to court and we'll say, that thing is not from this ministry. I don't know how you forged that agreement and said we are the ones that gave you such thing. We can deny you tomorrow. God cannot deny that he's your father once that seal is on you. When the trumpets sound, the angels are not going to be bothering their head looking for who is God's children. In the realm of the spirit, this seal is visible. I was preaching this thing has only happened to me twice. The lady was talking about it today. But it has happened to me twice, only twice in my whole life since I've been preaching. I was preaching once, and it was time for altar call, and I made an altar call. Those who have not given their life to Christ to come out. And a number of people came out, but some people stayed back. And the Holy Spirit said to me, there are some that stayed back. I want you to spend extra time because I want to help them. Talk to them further. And so I was trying to rush because I wanted to go into the healing session. And he said, no, don't do that. There are 8 of them that are still there. And so I obeyed him. I talked to them a little further, and they didn't show. And so in my head, I said, maybe everybody that needed to be saved has shown up here. And then the Holy Ghost blew my mind. He just opened my eyes. I just looked up like this, and I was seeing into the realm of the Spirit, and I was seeing everybody in that hall. What shocked me the first time it happened, this is what shocked me. All the people that are born again, this seal on them. Their faces were glowing like light. Their bodies were shining like light. I actually thought it is in the rapture that we will look like that. But your human spirit has already been raptured. It is your body that is waiting for redemption. If you are a new creation, That glorification has already taken place in your spirit. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That is the hope that one day your body too will join up into what God has already done in your spirit.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.